Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Oh, I think I need to try that again. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Yeah, you know, not because I'm looking for a cheerleading section or anything like that, but because we just get ready to receive God's Word. Folks, how many of you know we're not here for a book report here tonight? You know, we're not here for information. You know, we're here for a revelation from God. You know, the Bible says over there in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, a verse that I pray every time I'm about to minister. You know, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man, you know, minister, let him do so by the ability that God has placed within him, that God would get all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And so if you've ever wondered why I'm constantly having you give God all the praise, honor, and glory, because that's what belongs to him. Amen. And we here at the church, we never want to take any of his glory to ourselves. Meaning we don't, you know, no pastor, no preacher, you know, should take God's glory to themselves or take credit for anything good. You know, we as a church, you know, our name is not exalted above all names. It's the name of Jesus that is exalted above all names. Amen. And we just encourage you, when it comes to the Word of God, submit yourself, yield yourself to what, you know, the Word of God has to say. Believe me, we all are at different places. We all need to learn. We all need to be taught. Amen. And we can grow together. Praise the Lord. Well, turn in your Bibles. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And tonight, I'm going to call this message, Find Your Identity in the Grace of God. Find your identity in the grace of God. You know, there's a lot of talk in our society today of identity and identifying and so on. We know that there's, for some reason, all of a sudden in these recent years, there's a lot of debate, there's a lot of talk about folks that try to, you know, identify as something that they were not born as and so on. But we know this, that, you know, the Word of God makes it very clear. There are two genders. There's male and female. And sometimes, you know, and again, I'm not making light of this, and I'm not trying to make fun of anybody or anything like that at all. I've counseled with people who have gotten confused and gotten twisted in their mind, and they've accepted a different definition of gender other than that which the Bible gives us. And it brings a lot of hurt and a lot of confusion to their life. And folks, we've got good news that Jesus Christ can set you free. The blood of Jesus Christ can take that confusion away. And, you know, the Lord can get you, you know, back to what he has for you, get you to his plan, and it's good. Amen. And so believe me, sometimes we talk and we act like those things are the only sins that exist. Oh, no, there's plenty of other things that can trip us all up if we're not careful, right? So we're not trying to criticize, attack, or going after anybody. But we talked about this last week. You know, we see folks in our culture, in our day that we live in, you know, that they're getting confused about the definition of gender. But yet we see Christians who are also getting confused about the definition of Christianity. And I'll tell you what, if we fail to find our identity in Christ, right? If we try to think that we can be identified by any other means or any other way, I'll tell you what, then we would be deceived. We would be trying to twist, you know, something, you know, and make ourselves something we're not. We don't want to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we can just answer that question, you know, real simple. If somebody's confused about gender, we could just simplify the whole thing and say, how were you born? How were you born? Regardless, you know, of what's going on, go back to what you were born and be that. Amen. Praise the Lord. That would solve a lot of issues in the life of people that are confused. Well, I've got news for you, Christians. I'm using that as an illustration to describe what can happen to a believer if we're not careful. If we fail to identify with Christ, what do we need to do? Go back to what God made you when you were born. When you were born again, when you made Jesus your Lord and Savior, there are certain things that the Bible says that God made you a certain way. He made you certain ways. And if we don't identify with those ways, we can start walking in a twisted definition of our own of what it means to be a born-again believer. You know, let's take a look at when we got saved, when we got born again, how did the Lord make us? Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Start there in verse 17. Now tonight, we are going to have the verses up on the screen. I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard Bible. That's just the Bible I decided to travel with. I've been traveling all week, you know, 8 church services this week, and of course, 2,000 miles of driving in there too. So a lot going on, but this is the Bible I decided to travel with. We have the King James up here. It'll be very similar, or it'll be very similar to what you have with you, and you can either listen, you can follow along in your own Bible. It'll be very, very similar. This is a familiar passage of verses here for us. It says in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature or a new creation." Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. Praise the Lord. And it says, "Now all these things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not counting our trespasses against us, and he has committed to us," everyone say us, "the word of reconciliation." Amen. And then in verse 20, he says, "Therefore we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." And then look at verse 21. It says, "He, God, made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we would become the righteousness of God in Christ." Amen. That the King James, we love it. It says this, that we would be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Notice when you were born again, you were made righteous. We're going to talk about that. Now we could go back up to verse 17 and just start looking at what, you know, Jesus made us. You know, in verse 17, it says he made us a new creation. I don't know about you. I'm a new creation every day. I'm a new creation today. I'm a new creation since 24 years ago when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I became a new creation that day. I've been a new creation every day since then. I'm going to be a new creation tomorrow. 10 years from now, I'll be a new creation. 100 million years from now, I'll be a brand new creation. Amen. The new never wears off. The new never goes away. So what do we identify? What were we made when we made Jesus our Lord and Savior? A new creation, a new creature. That means old things have passed away. All my past is 100% gone. All the sins that I committed in that former life are all washed and cleansed. All the guilt and all the shame, all the things that would have kept me out of the presence of God, they are gone forever. I have no guilt and shame, and of course, neither do you if you're walking in the things of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be a new creation? Hallelujah. You're brand new today. This is what God wants you to identify. He does not want you to find any identity in your past. He doesn't want you to find any identity in yesterday or anything before it. Your identity is found in him every day. You are brand new. Glory to God. Your sin is gone. He wants you to have that confidence in him. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. That sounds pretty good. And then we go on to verse 18 and we just keep on reading down here. It says that he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, the ministry of reconciliation is when we tell others how to get back to God. You know, we tell others, hey, you need to, you know, get back to God through Christ. You know, God is missing you. You've gotten away from him. Sin has separated you from him. And the good news is that God's calling us all back to him to be reconciled, where all sins, all faults, all failures can be washed away. Glory to God. And so I'll tell you what, there's only one way to have an effective ministry of reconciliation, and that is first believing that you yourself are brand new. People, I'll tell you what, if you can't get past your past, you aren't going to bring many souls into Christ to Christ in the future. People want to see someone walking as a new belief, new creation. Amen. Glory to God. We have that ministry of telling people how to come back to Him. Praise the Lord. And then it also says, we just keep on going down through the verses. I'm not going to read them all again. It says, we are now ambassadors for Christ. What does it mean? You've been made an ambassador. That means that you represent Him. That when people see you, they should see Him. God is going to call us to be ambassadors, meaning that we legally represent Him on this earth. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good to know? So we're a new creation. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors. And now verse 21 might be the most significant verse of this passage. It says, for God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin. Just like Jesus had never sinned before. He was eternally perfect. He was the spotless Lamb of God, and on that cross, He was made sin. Meaning literally, you could say it this way, just like when you and I got born again, we received His life. On that cross, Jesus received our death. He received the judgment that we deserved. He became sin. The one true, living Son of God became sin for us. He was made that. He was turned into that. In God's eyes, Jesus on the cross was made every sinner that had ever lived. As far as God was concerned, when God saw Jesus on that cross, He saw my sin, He saw your sin, He saw every atrocity ever committed by the human race was on Him at that moment. Right? And Jesus, the spotless Son of God, took all that, was made sin so that what? We would be made the righteousness of God in Him. He was righteous. We were sin. So He said, I'll be made sin for you so that I can make you the righteousness of God. Folks, this is very significant because righteousness is the number one need of every human being on this earth. Righteousness is the most important of all needs that any human being could ever have. Righteousness, without righteousness, there is no heaven. Without righteousness, there is no getting into the presence of God. Without righteousness, no man can enter before Him. Without righteousness, no man can stand in His presence. Without righteousness, man is lost, depraved, and sentenced to eternal judgment forever in a place called hell. Without righteousness, there is no blessing from God. Without righteousness, there is no promises of God. Without righteousness, we have no approach. We have no way of Him hearing us. Righteousness is what you and I need more than anything else in this life. And here's the good news. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He freely gave you His righteousness. He made you that way. Or literally, you were born that way when you were born again. Amen. Just like I was born a man, I was born a male. The moment I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was made His righteousness. Righteousness is not something we can get on our own. Righteousness is not something, we can achieve. Righteousness is not something that we deserve. Righteousness is not something we can go find. It was freely provided for us through faith in Christ. Amen. And now God now looks at you as righteous, just as Jesus Himself is righteous. You have been given that almost like a garment to stand before God. Folks, are you glad? Because without it, God's saying, stay away. But since He gave it to you, He's saying, come on in, get close. You can fellowship with Me through that righteousness in Christ. Amen. Are you here tonight? Praise the Lord. What does that mean? We've been made that way by His grace and goodness. We can't make ourselves righteous. We can't find it or deserve it on our own. Glory to God, we can go into His presence. That means because of that righteousness, I can kneel down and pray, and God will hear me as if I'm in the throne room of heaven. I can trust that I'm going to receive the answer of my prayers, not on my own righteousness, because I have His righteousness. See, I'm not standing upon my own capability. I'm standing on His ability. Why can you have faith? Because He made you righteous. Why can you have joy to know that your sin is gone? Because He made you righteous. You were born that way. You were made that way. Amen. This is the most prized possession in your life. The greatest gift in your life is to have the righteousness of God. Even if your past was horrific, even if your past was filled with sin and you know, depravity and licentiousness and all this stuff, the good news is He gave you His righteousness. You say, well, Pastor, you know, I still miss it, you know, meaning I make mistakes. I don't always act righteous. Well, here's the good news. None of us will ever be perfect in that, but His righteousness is perfect. And see, you cannot try to make yourself righteous. You can just guard the righteousness that you've already been given. When you understand what righteousness is and how valuable it is, it's been given to you. See, that's what delivered me from an alcohol habit. When I was addicted to alcohol, that's what delivered me 100%. That I realized that He freely gave me this gift, and that addiction was just, you know, hindering what He was providing for me. It'll break, you know, addictions. It'll break sin in your life. It'll destroy worry and all the shame and all the guilt. Glory to God. Amen. See, righteousness is something we guard and protect. This is why I don't go out and sin against God. This is why, you know, we don't get involved in pornography. This is why we don't smoke dope. This is why we, you know, don't use profane language. Not because God's looking to take away your righteousness, because righteousness should be so valuable to you now that you have it, that you don't want to do anything to hinder it. Amen. Are you here tonight? Why am I telling you all this? To show you in the Word, God made you certain things when you were born. See, a lot of Christians, they don't find their identity as a new creation. They don't find their identity as an ambassador of Christ. And they don't find their identity in the righteousness of God. Those are all things that you've been made. Now, here's why I'm starting here and the point I'm getting to. Go over to chapter 8, right there in the same book, 2 Corinthians. Jump over to chapter 8. I want to show you, you were made something else as well. And bear with me, everybody, because I'm going to read a verse. Now, remember, I didn't write the verse. But it's going to upset somebody just to hear me read this out loud in church. This verse has a way of getting people upset because they misunderstand it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and bring up verse 9. Bring up verse 9. Yeah, we've got one brother excited about this verse. A lot of Christians go absolutely silent when you read this verse out loud in church. And the reason why they go silent is because they don't understand it or they start thinking about something else. It says this. In verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Everyone say grace. Grace. Oh, boy. Though He was what? Rich. Oh, boy. Anyone mad yet? Though He was rich, yet for your sakes, Jesus became poor, that you through His poverty would be rich. Ooh, boy. That verse is in the Bible. That verse is in the Bible. Now, when we read that verse, a lot of times the thing that people start instantly wanting to think about and talk about, they start to think about money. They see that word rich, and of course, then the word rich, sometimes it comes with some, you know, of course, maybe some unfair association words, like people start thinking of greed or selfishness or something like that. Well, don't let the word rich, you know, upset you or confuse you. The word rich here, it means literally fully provided for, fully supplied. A full supply is what Jesus made you. All right. Literally, when it says in the King James, if you have a more modern translation, it'll say just the same thing as it said over there in chapter 5, verse 21, that Jesus became poor. Where did Jesus become poor, everybody? On the cross, he became poor in every sense possible. You know, not just financially poor. He became every form of poor you can possibly imagine, right? And it says that you, through Christ's poverty on the cross, would be made, what? Rich. You have been made rich. Meaning when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were made rich. I love how some of you are looking at me suspiciously. Like, what is he saying? Is he saying that God has promised everyone to be a billionaire? God's promised everyone would be a millionaire or something like this? Folks, first and foremost, do not think shallow to think that this verse is only talking about money. This is actually not a financial verse at all. It's a grace verse. It's a grace verse. We know the what? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, that means Jesus was fully supplied with all God had. Amen. All that he had, he was fully supplied. Yet for your sakes, he became poor on that cross, that you through his poverty would be made rich. So we already said, I've been made a new creation. How many of you believe that? Yeah, I've been made an ambassador of Christ. Amen. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Does anyone else believe that? You've been made rich. Oh, hear the silence again. Why do believers have a hard time saying it? Because that word to them, they're misunderstanding. Brother, can you bring up a verse? This verse will help you to understand it so you don't think of it in terms of greed or selfishness. And again, it's a grace verse more than it is a money verse, but I'm here to tell you it is in context of finances. You know, however, we're going to talk about that. Can you go over to 2 Peter? Where is that? Chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll bring it up on the screen and verse 3. Just so you get an idea, this is another verse that says something similar. This isn't Paul writing, this is Peter's writing. It says this, according as his divine power has given us how many things? All things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. All right. All things pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory in virtue. All right. So this is talking through the knowledge of Christ. Amen. He has given us what? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Now notice, it's not just as shallow as just dollars and cents. When Christ died and rose again, and when you invited him into your heart, you were made fully supplied that all things that are of God to provide for you, both spirit, soul, and body, was made available to you and I. Amen. Do you need health in this life? Yes. Do you need peace of mind in this life? Yes. Amen. Yeah, do you need finances in this life? Yes. Do you need, we could go through all the things that pertain to life and godliness, but notice it's not just to this life. It's for the next life. He's given you righteousness so that you can stand in the presence of God with confidence. He's given you joy on this, this planet and, of course, the life that is to come. Amen. He's given you anything and everything you will ever need. You know, there's another verse playing on the inside of me. Can you bring up Romans 8:32? Praise the Lord. Brother, why don't you start in verse 31 since we're going over there? I wasn't planning on it. I'm going to preach myself real happy here tonight. Go to Romans 8:31 and then we'll look at verse 32 as well. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? Meaning that if God is on the inside of you, if God is with you, there's nothing that is going to ultimately defeat you. And then verse 32, he says something similar to the other verses that we've been looking at. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all so that we could have his righteousness, so that we could be new creations, so that we could be fully supplied. How shall he not with Christ also freely give us all things? What does that mean? I'm not here to talk about just trying to get more possessions and money. I'm here to tell you about a mentality that says no matter what you need in this life, it's already been provided for in Christ. No matter what you're going through, he's already provided a solution. Because I'm here to tell you that your solution in life is not a what, it's a who. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. through Christ, He's provided you everything you need. Well, Pastor, I need financial help. God's provided it. Pastor, you know, I need freedom from this depression and anxiety and fear. He's provided it. Amen. You know, I need help raising my kids. He's provided that help. Amen. I need health in my body. I'm here to tell you, He's provided it. God is our provider in all things, spirit, soul, and body, life and godliness. Oh, I needed, you know, to be delivered from eternal judgment. I needed to be delivered from hell. He's provided it. I need to go to heaven one day. He's provided it. Glory to God. I need His direction in life. He'll provide it. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll help you. Are you here tonight? He made you a new creation. He made you the righteousness of God, and He made you so fully supplied that you never should have to worry ever again. Doesn't mean you won't be challenged. Actually, just the opposite. You will be challenged. But in the times of those challenges, you think about this. He's provided it already. You know, drop down to verse 37. I'm preaching off the script here. I have handwritten notes tonight and all, and I'm not even preaching off them. It says, knowing all these things, we, that means Christians, we are what? More than conquerors because He loved us. When you're facing the loss of a job, you're more than a conqueror. You'll overcome it. Praise the Lord. He's provided you another one. You're going to need a job. Amen. You're going through a challenge in your body. Guess what? You're more than a conqueror. He'll provide it. Imagine if we went to God and we started telling Him how we believe and we identify as His new creations, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that we believe that we are fully supplied. There's nothing that we lack. If God be with us, who or what can be against us? Sounds like 1 John 4:4. Greater is He that is where? In you than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now, go back to 2 Corinthians 8:9. Here's what we need to know. You were born. You were made what? Rich. Again, people cringe at that word. And I'm going to purposely keep using it. Because people freak out. We're not talking about just dollars and cents here. We're not talking about trying to be greedy and just everything's about material possessions. No. If that's what you think 2 Corinthians 8:9 is about, you know, yes, I'll tell you what, a full supply does include the money you need in this life. God has provided that as well. I'm just here to tell you, this is not a greed verse, right? Amen. It means that when you've been made rich, if you are down to your last nickel, you're still rich. If somebody came and took everything you owned away, you're still rich. You could, you know, take somebody's last dollar. You know, if they're a born-again believer and if they know and understand what this verse is saying, you're rich. Someone could come and put a gun in my head and say, give me everything that you got. I'm still rich. Yeah. See, this is the stuff, this is the mentality that God is looking for us to identify. Rich is not a definition of how much money you have or don't have. Rich, the definition of full supply, is what we have through the blood, death, burial, resurrection in Jesus Christ that builds a mentality that says, you know what? Money never made me rich, so a lack of money can't make me poor. Amen. Are you here tonight? Folks, this is what it means to find our identity in Christ. Because if we're worried about something as, you know, simple as money in this life, we have forgotten who we are. If we're worried about what might happen in our lives, we start to forget who we are. You know what I mean by that? You know, if we start to just, you know, plunge ourselves into feeling like we're not going to make it, not going to make ends meet, our life is falling apart, we have forgotten who we are in Christ. Our identity is a full supply, a new creation, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, well, Pastor, you act like everything is going to be perfect. Just the opposite. I'm not telling you this because life is easy. Right? I'm telling you because life gets tough. There's challenges. And that doesn't mean you got to, just expect life to be just one case of desperation after another. I'm just saying, Has anyone ever gone through a tough spot in life? Amen, right? Well, I'll tell you what. See, this is what we develop in our hearts and in our minds, that we remember we were born with a full supply. Oh, Pastor, I have a need. God's already provided it. Everything you need was provided on that cross. If you're down to your last nickel, but you're a born-again Christian, guess what? Are you still rich?
Yes,
yes you are, because your money didn't make you that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We were made rich. We were born that way, and the world can't change it. Someone could come even and you know, try to take away your life. See, the good news is we've already passed from life, you know, from death into life. Oh, praise the Lord. Of course, we want to live a full, you know, life on this earth, and we should fulfill the full numbers of our days. But even if someone took your life, guess what? You're just going to go live even more. You've already overcome death. You've already overcome that. Amen. There's only more and more life. You cannot kill the eternal life that is living on the inside of you. I hope I'm just trying to develop a mentality here. Praise the Lord. And I'm also trying to get to a point. Praise the Lord. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Praise the Lord. We're going to take a look now at where this verse came from. Go down to verse 1. Go down. You're in the same chapter. Where did 2 Corinthians 8, 9 come from? It came from the first 8 verses before it. Are you ready for this? Here we go. Hopefully you're going to see and understand what I'm getting at. I know sometimes this stuff makes people go tilt in their mind a little bit. Folks, it's not what we are in this carnal life that we identify with. We walk by faith, not by sight. Money is not, you know, something that is worthy to be worried about. You know, the loss of a job, challenges in our life. The good news is we've got an answer for all that comes against us. Amen. Look at this in verse 1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace. Everyone say grace. Ooh, the grace that was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Notice whoever these Macedonians are, these Christians, they had a lot of grace evident in their life. Is there anybody in here you want grace evident in your life? The word grace, it means divine influence moving upon your heart, meaning that your actions demonstrate that God's grace is active in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you. I want God's grace to be evident in my life. And now in verse 1, just think, these Macedonian Christians are forever recorded eternally in God's word as people who are moving in the grace of God. Don't you want to be recorded that way? I love that. What a testimony. Whatever these people did, it got God's attention so much that he put them forever in his word. Wow. That's pretty good. Look at verse 2. What did they do? That in a great, I'm going to read out of the New American Standard. It says, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their what? Deep poverty. Oh, wait a minute. Good feeling gone. Their great trial of affliction and their deep poverty abounded to the what? Riches of their liberality or their generous giving. Wait, so if the grace was on them in their life, that means everything must have just looked perfect for them. Everything must have felt perfect for them. Everything must have been just going just the way they always hoped and dreamed. Is that what was happening? It says that these Macedonians who were walking in such great grace of God were going through a great trial of affliction. That means extreme troubles, extreme hardships. And notice one of their hardships was what? Deep poverty or a lack of money. But notice grace was active in their life. God was moving upon them and it was evident. We think sometimes that God's grace is just when everything goes right. No, no, no. God's grace is upon us when we're doing right. Doesn't mean everything feels great or looks great. Look at verse 3. Bring up verse 3 for us. Oh, I'm getting to a point here. He says, for I testify that according to their ability, and yes, above or beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. Here they were going through a great trial of affliction, deep poverty, and they started giving towards other Christians who were in need. Wow. Look at this, verse 4. I'm going to read this. Listen to this out of the New American Standard. It says, begging us. Now, the King James says, praying us with much entreaty. We would say it in our modern language, begging us. Begging us that we would receive their gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Listen to it in the New American. It says, begging us with much urging for the favor of participating in the support of fellow believers. Folks, as a pastor, I have seen a lot of Christians in a time of deep trouble or poverty where they beg God to receive something. Where I've seen Christians that'll say, oh, Lord, I need this. I need more help and, you know, with finances. Lord, I need this. Oh, Lord, please give me this. Please give me this. Folks, these Macedonians who were walking in God's grace did not beg God to get something. They begged the Apostle Paul to receive their offering to give to somebody else who was in a hardship. Folks, are you getting a hold of this? Oh, praise the Lord. You could say it this way. When the attack was at its worst point, when they were under spiritual and financial attack, these Macedonians were at their best. Folks, are you getting a hold of... I'm feeling you are... Someone's got the brakes on here tonight a little bit. Here they were in a deep state of poverty. Here they were going through a deep affliction, heavy troubles, and yet they begged the minister to take their, you know, take an offering and to go and give it to some other folks. That's what was going on. And God called it grace. And some of you are sitting here like, Pastor, what are you talking about here? Are you trying to talk about an offering or money we need to give? No. I'm here to talk about what's in our hearts, the mentality that we have. Could we and would we think like they do when it comes to if we were in that same spot as them? Here's what we need to understand. Are you ready? There are layers of truth here in these four verses that we just read about. Let's talk about the one on the surface, the one that, you know, people think about first. Yes, we know that 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is talking about finances and offering and giving. But like I said, this passage of Scripture, this is not a financial passage. This is a passage about the grace of God active on somebody's life. Stay with me now because here comes the point. Praise the Lord. What is this grace that was upon these Macedonians? Are you ready? Here it is. These Macedonians must have believed that money doesn't make you rich, grace does. Glory to God. They got a revelation that money is not their solution out of their trial. The Lord is their solution out of their trial. Money doesn't make you rich, so therefore, you know, the lack of it can't make you poor. They were looking more at Jesus than they were looking at their own pocketbooks. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Money doesn't tell you what to give. The Lord tells you what to give. Money doesn't tell you what you have. The new birth tells you what you have. Amen. I don't care if you're down to your last nickel. I don't care if you're down to your last cent. I don't care if you're like many Americans who are in negative money, right? Meaning debt and all this stuff. I'm here to tell you that through the way God made you, He calls you rich. Even if you have your last penny in your pocket right now, even if the bills are stacking up at home on your desk, I'm here to tell you He calls you fully supplied. But when are we going to call ourselves fully supplied? When are we going to break out and say, you know what? God has provided more than enough. God is going to do something. God is going to make a way. He is going to absolutely deliver me out of this situation. They didn't think that money was their help because they hardly had any. And what they had, they were willing to let it go. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's grace moving on your heart when you start to see that, you know, it's not what you have, it's who you have. How did they give in a deep trial of affliction? Because they knew they were new creations. They knew they were the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And they knew that they were fully supplied, even if they were down to just their last few cents. Yes. When will God's people wake up to realize who we are in Him? We are fully supplied. Money doesn't tell me what to give. Hallelujah. The Lord tells me what to give. Money doesn't tell me what I need. It's not what I need, it's who I need. It's not what I have, it's who I have. Money doesn't make you rich, so money can't make you poor. Glory to God. Lose everything, guess what? You're still rich. Have everything in the whole wide world. Those aren't your riches. The grace of God. Are you getting a hold of this? I don't provide for myself. They must have thought to the, you know, within themselves, we are not our provider. The Lord is our provider. If someone else has a need, they begged Him to take that, you know, to be a blessing to those other folks. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. They must have said, money doesn't deliver us out of this problem. The Lord will deliver us out of this problem. They knew what made them rich. Here they were with nothing left to their name, going through a hardcore trial, and all they could think about is somebody else. Are you getting a hold of this, everybody? Here's the deeper layer, and here's what we're trying to get to. All right. Do you know that 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 is all about Paul the Apostle asking the Gentile churches to raise money to give to the Christians in Jerusalem who were suffering? Is everyone here? Are you with me? Pay attention to this. This is very important. He was raising an offering for Jewish Christians who were suffering. All right? Think about this. And now he comes to the Macedonians. Think about this. Think about this deep layer that was going on. Remember, they in Corinth, they were Gentile Christians, but in Jerusalem, they were Jewish Christians. And remember how the Jews did not want to, you know, ever, you know, mix with the Gentiles? And so now, in their deep state of poverty, some apostle comes through their land to take up an offering. And they had the grace of God. They wanted to give into it. Think about the opportunity that they had to be offended. Think about this. Those Macedonians could have said, you see what we're going through? You see the trouble in our life, and yet you have the gall to take up an offering in the midst of this? I think some of you are still a little shell-shocked. You're thinking that I'm here to raise money or something. This has nothing to do with anything, you know, about money. It has everything to do with understanding who we are in Christ. Are you here? I'm not taking up any special offerings right here tonight, all right? I'm just telling you, think about, imagine if you were in your lowest moment in your life. You were going through the hardest troubles. You had lost your job. You were in deep poverty. And all of a sudden, some preacher shows up and said, hey, there's Jews who don't like you over there who need money. What would be our first reaction in our mind? Tell them, what are you talking about, Paul? How offended I am how you would try to, you know, raise money for the Jewish Christians when you see how tough it is around here. Think about how offended they could have been. Think about how ticked off they could have been. Is everyone here? Oh, boy. Whew. The Macedonians did not get offended even though they were going through a hard time. Notice they didn't get hurt. You know, the Macedonians could have said, where's the offering for us? Where's the offering for us? You see, you know, oh, those Jews that we've never met? Do you realize how far Corinth was from Jerusalem? Those Corinthians never had met those Jewish Christians. Here they are, they have nothing. They're down to some of maybe their last pennies or whatever. You know, and they could have said, well, where's the offering for us? They didn't do that. Oh, are you here? They were not bitter. Are you here? They did not feel overlooked. They did not feel neglected. Folks, I'll tell you what, I see this among so many Christians. They feel overlooked about everything. I'm here to tell you that's not the grace of God in your life. Christians get bitter at one another because they feel neglected that someone, you know, is getting, you know, taken care of and they're not. Are you here tonight? It sure is quiet in here. Here's why I'm saying this. While I was at these meetings this past week, the Lord spoke to me and kept saying these words to me. He said these words: trauma, burdens, hurts, and offenses. I'm going to say these words again, four words over and over, kept saying to me. Trauma, burdens, hurts, and offenses. And this is something that the Lord started to teach me this week. And he said this to me, and we can show you in the Word. Nearly everyone who gets off course in their plan of God in their life, they get off course by getting offended or separating from other people. Most of it came from an initial trauma, burden, or hurt that led them to get offended. Meaning that, you know, basically the way we say it, you've probably heard this statement before: hurting people do hurtful things. You ever heard that statement before? That when somebody's mistreating you or offended at you, maybe have we ever thought that maybe their life is going through some kind of hardship that we can't see, we don't know about, but their offense with you or their attitude towards you was actually started somewhere else back in the past with a trauma or a hurt or a burden or an offense. Are you here tonight? This is what we're trying to bring out of this passage, knowing the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was poor, he made you rich. See, the Macedonians believed that. They believed that they were fully supplied, spirit, soul, and body. They believed that the Lord was more than enough. And when somebody came in the midst of their hardest time of their life and all of a sudden started raising up an offering for somebody else, they did not get offended. They did not feel neglected. They did not feel overlooked. They did not feel hurt. Are you getting old? What they did is they jumped in, and even Paul was saying, oh, you know, you're going through a tough time. Maybe now's not the best time. They begged him to take that offering because they did not see money as their God. They did not see money as their provider. They believed that grace was their provider. Are you getting a hold of this? Folks, don't believe me, don't take this the wrong way. God is a generous, good-giving God. I'm just saying he's more concerned about our mentality and what is in our heart than sometimes we make these things so shallow and we make these verses just about money. That's shallow. The grace that was on them to not be offended at that. Have you ever been in the hardest moment of your life and you just want someone to show up and help you and coddle you and help you through it? Paul, the greatest Christian that ever lived, shows up in Macedonia. By the way, that's the church of Philippi. You have a book in your New Testament called the Philippians. He shows up, the greatest man of God in the land shows up. Here they are on their department, and they probably thought at first, oh, good, Paul's here. Paul's going to help us. Paul's going to, you know, tell us something, and he's going to pray over us and get us out of this problem. And Paul shows up and said, hey, we're raising an offering for the Jews down in Jerusalem. Can you give? Think about the Macedonians could have been like, what do you think you're doing? We're so hurt by this. Where's our offering? How come you're overlooking us? How offended. They could have been hurt through the burdens that they were facing, and they chose to let go of any offense. Are you here? What you're going through is not a license to be offended at somebody. It is not a license to think of yourself. Folks, think about it. When we go through traumas, burdens, hurts, and offenses, who do we typically think about when we're at the hardest point of our lives? Who are we thinking about most? Ourselves. And this is why Paul says, look at their grace. They identified with being fully supplied. That's why he says that verse, just a few verses from here. He says, do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Who was poor. He became poor on the cross. You understand that. And through his poverty, he was made rich. He's referring to these Macedonians who were saying, even though we have nothing, we're rich. Oh my goodness, the Lord has given me a verse. Is that all right? Can we share a verse? Brother, go to back there to the book of Revelation. This verse is playing in me, and I don't have my normal King James Bible, and I feel a little lost without it, to be honest. But I really enjoy the New American Standard. It's great. Go to Revelation. Go to chapter 2, I think. Praise the Lord. Are you here with me tonight? Folks, I don't know about you. Listen, are you glad for the blessings in your life? Thank God for your car, your business, your job, and all the blessings and pay increases. Thank God for all those things. Praise the Lord. But you know what? Cars come and go. Houses come and go. Jobs come and go. Praise the Lord for all the things that He provides us. But what God is looking for more than anything is that Christians will say, I'm a new creation. I am new. I walk in the righteousness of God thanks to Him. I only have that because of Him. And I've been made fully supplied. Whether I've got $1 million in my pocket, which I don't, or whether I've got one penny in my pocket, which I don't have that either. I don't have any money in my pockets. But no, I'll admit, I don't have $1 million in my life. I don't. And if you do, let me know. I'm kidding. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. I'm just saying, but you know what? I'm not down to my last penny though either. We're all at different places and we're grateful for the blessing. But what we want more than anything is a heart that says who we are. How did God make you? He made you fully supplied. He made you rich. These Macedonians, God is looking. Look at how rich they are. Look at how rich they are. Say, Pastor, didn't you read the verse? It says they're deeply impoverished. But their hearts were so rich. Oh, praise the Lord. Boy, you're all so excited tonight. Hallelujah. Say, well, Pastor, you're preaching ain't good enough to be excited about. Well, I probably don't disagree with that. Go over to, I'm kidding. I'm just joking around, having some fun. Go to Revelation chapter 2. I wasn't looking for a pity party. I'm sorry. I was just having some fun. Go over there. Where is it? Go over to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. Oh, I am trying to get through this. Trauma, burdens, hurts, and offenses. So many of God's people are getting off course. They're not walking in the plan that God has for them because somewhere in the past they got burdened, they got offended, they got hurt, and then they started to treat people that way. And there it drew them off course where God was trying to take them. Folks, don't let that happen to you. See, those Macedonians could have been so hurt and offended and bothered and troubled and all that stuff. They could have missed the plan that God had in their life. But they said, oh, we're not hurt. We're not bothered. We're not offended. We're not overlooked. We're not neglected. Oh, actually, just the opposite. Please take this blessing and get it to those Jewish Christians. That's the grace of God. Folks, if we don't have this grace, burdens will come upon our lives and we will mishandle them. Don't allow burdens to change your attitude and start hurting and separating from people around you that God has you with, right? Are you here tonight? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's be honest. Have you ever treated somebody, maybe you've treated somebody wrong or whatever because you were going through something? We've all been there, but I'm here to tell you when the grace of God starts to be active in your life, you won't treat them according to what you're going through. Are you getting a hold of this? Oh, Revelation 2, wait, is this even the right verse? Oh, praise the Lord. Look at this. This is Jesus writing to a church. He says, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write these things. He says, I am the first and the last who is dead, and I'm alive forevermore. Look what he says. Look at verse 9. He says, I know your tribulation. That means I know the extreme troubles you're going through. He says, I know your poverty. He says, I know you. He's like, I know what you're going through. And these Christians at this time were under an attack of poverty, lack of finances. But look at those four words that Jesus spoke to the Smyrnans. He says, but you are rich. That's what Jesus is trying to get over to his people. But we think poor, we act poor. You know what poverty is? Poverty isn't a lack of money. Poverty is when we act desperate. Desperation and acting desperate is what would make us poor, because we would forget who we are. And this is exactly what he is saying. He says, I know your works and your tribulation. I know your poverty, but you're rich. Folks, is there anyone else in here tonight? Are you rich? Boy, we lack confidence in it. Does everyone feel the brakes being put on when you ask a Christian that? Are you rich? Boy, I'll tell you what, you aren't. You aren't until you say that with confidence and boldness. You say, well, Pastor, no. I'm trying to help you here. Because, see, when a Christian sits and looks at life and says, I'm not rich, and we're looking at all the Hollywood celebrities and all the millionaires and billionaires and, you know, these people and all this stuff, we think, well, they're rich. No, we're rich. We're rich. Jesus told him, he said, I know your works, your tribulation, but you are rich. He says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. He's talking about false believers. Look at verse 10. Look at how interesting this gets. Well, hallelujah. Jesus says, don't fear any of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, notice, they're going through a hard time, everybody. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried or tested. He's talking to Christians here. He says, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. We don't know what that means. It just means you're going to go through a very hard time. He says, but be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. See, the reason why Christ is, you know, heaping compliments upon these Smyrnan Christians, because they were facing persecution, had no money, were going to get thrown into jail, and some of them were going to lose their heads in order to follow Christ, and they said, we don't care. They said, we're going to keep on serving God, we're going to keep on obeying God, and that's why Jesus says, I know it looks like you're poor, but you're rich. You're rich because you just don't quit. You're rich, not because of money or a lack of money. You're rich because you have a heart and an attitude to do whatever it takes. How many people, what if Jesus told you that? How many Christians get offended at their circumstances in life? And they get offended with God, and they get offended with people, and they start to treat everybody poorly and all this stuff. But these Smyrna Christians said, we'll do whatever it takes to be faithful to God. Oh, praise the Lord. Trauma, burdens, hurts, and offenses. The Macedonians were not hurt. They were not bitter. They were not feeling overlooked. They didn't feel neglected. They were not traumatized. They were new creations. They believed that God had fully supplied them. That's when grace gets a hold of your heart. You're always under the belief that God is more than enough. Folks, are you getting something out of this? Be careful. Don't get pulled off course. Is everyone listening? Yes. This is a divine warning. This is absolutely a divine warning. Don't get pulled off God's plan for your life. Because there's burdens or trials in your life, and then we start treating people or mistreating them. Right? We start to separate from them. We start to get offended at them or hurt or feel neglected. Be careful. Because what that'll do, that'll allow you to get into your emotions. It'll take you down a path or a course that will take you off the plan of God. Remember, so many times at the root of someone's attitude is a burden or a tribulation or a trial in their life that, you know, inspired that action against you. Don't be offended. Don't be hurt. Don't feel neglected. Don't feel like, oh, you know, they've hurt me and overlooked me and all this stuff. Think about those Macedonians who were, when that attack was at its worst, they were absolutely at their best. Folks, are you a new creation here tonight?
Yes.
Have old things passed away?
Yes.
Are you an ambassador? Yes. Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Yes. Are you rich? Yes. Abundantly so. See, if we're sitting around waiting for money to tell us that we're rich, we will never learn to identify with what God said that we're rich. Amen. I do not look to money to make me rich. You can't make me any richer than I am right now. You can't make me poor because God lives on the inside. Amen. This is the heart and the mentality that God wants you to have when you go through things in life. Say, you know, trials come, trials go, hardships come against me, but I have a full supply. God is going to, if God be with me, who or what can stand against me? If he provided me Christ, you know, he'll freely provide all things that we need in our life. Amen. He's given me all things pertaining to life and godliness. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Lord God, we bless you. Father, you said, look at the grace that is on these Macedonians. You said, look at them, even in their deep affliction and poverty. They were going through the toughest time of their life. And yet, Paul the Apostle showed up and started talking about an offering given to other believers. How hurt they could have been. How offended they could have been. How overlooked and neglected they could have felt. But they begged Paul to be a blessing. They begged him to take that offering to those Jews down in Jerusalem. And Lord, you forever remember the grace that was demonstrated in their life. And you said that we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty would be made fully supplied. Father God, we lack nothing in this life. Father, we don't have any excuse to complain. Father God, we thank you that you are more than enough no matter what we're facing, and we're not going to let our burdens get a hold of us so that we start mistreating people and pull ourselves off the plan of God in our lives. It's not worth it. Those Macedonians, they saw through that. The attack that was upon them, the tribulation and troubles that was upon them, was just trying to get them to be resentful. Yes. Resentment. Folks, if you have resentment for somebody or against somebody, let it go. Let it go. That is the devil trying to pull you out of God's course for your life. Resentment. If you're offended at somebody, if you feel overlooked or neglected, or if someone doesn't make you feel special enough, let go of it. Let go of it. Father, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. With all heads bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Bible says over there in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're here tonight, you've never made Jesus your Lord, ask yourself this question. Say, am I born again? If I were to leave this earth here tonight, would I go to heaven or would I go to hell? Well, I've got good news. If you're unsure, God gave his son. He went to that cross, he shed his blood, he died and rose again, that if you'll put your faith in him, you'll receive that eternal life. Amen. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you or anything like that. But if that's you, all I'm going to ask you to do is to put your hand up in the air for 1 second. When I see your hand, I'll just tell you to put it right back down, and I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, could you lift your hand now? Is there anyone here that you are unsure about your eternity? You are unsure about where you would go? Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. There is a hell, but the good news is there's a heaven. God didn't make hell for you. He wants you to be fully supplied. All things pertaining to life and godliness. All things for eternity. He wants to be your heavenly Father. If that's you, could you just real quickly just lift your hand? Anybody before we pray? I see that hand and that hand. You can put them down. God loves you. Anyone else before we pray? Say, Pastor, that's me. I know I need Jesus in my life. I know I need to be born again. I need that assurance. Well, let's all pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind. We'll all be praying it along with you, but you're just talking between you and God. Just mean it with your heart. God will hear you. Let's all go ahead and pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Go back. I tell you what, there's so much there about those Macedonians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, I spent a lot of time this week just looking at that passage and saying, I want to be like them. You know, I want to be so unbothered by things. And I'd like to believe that I am, but I'll tell you what, we all have to work on that, you know. I just look at their life and I say, man, I want God to say that about me, man. Look at the grace. You know what I mean? Look at, you know, they're not offended. They're not burdened. They're not feeling neglected or resentful towards anybody. I want that to be me. Praise the Lord. Do you want that to be you? All right, praise the Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's give God all the glory. We'll be dismissed. Father, we praise you tonight. Lord, we thank you. Your blessing is upon each one. Father, you are holy and good. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.